we generally assume that davening and learning are two separate disciplines, and really worlds from each other. The Gemara in Shabbos presents it as if they're like a conflict with one another. They're competing for our time. The Gemara calls davening chai shah, learning is chai olam. It's critical of those who spend all their time davening that they're menichim chai olam ve'oiskim b'chai shah. And the Gemara there concludes in Shabbos and Daf Yudam Aleph that zman tefilah l'chud v'zman tarah l'chud, that we have to budget in time for both, but the times are distinct one from the other. So it sounds like they're two separate realms. However, clearly they're more related than sometimes we realize. You have to look no further than davening every Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, and Yontif. We lane in the middle of davening. That's a public learning that takes place in the midst of davening itself. Why are the two mixed together? Why is learning couched in terms of davening? Answer is obviously because they're related. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Megillah, Shmaitza boi tzilusa. If you want to be successful in your learning, you have to daven to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's echoed by the Gemara at the end of Masechtas Nida too. The Gemara says, Ma yase adam v'yischakam, what should a person do to become wise in Torah? Yarbe b'yeshiva v'yemoy b'schera. Simple formula. Spend a lot of time learning and less time working. So Gemara says, yeah, but many people did that and they were not successful. So the Gemara says, it's because you also have to be mevakesh rachmim and misha chachma shaloi. You have to dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be successful in your learning. So tefillah is a necessary ingredient to be successful in learning. They are related. At the end of Parshas Yisroi, the Torah concludes with the discussion of the Mizbeach. Parshas Mishpatim picks up with discussion of Eil Mishpatim Ashatosim Lefnehem, with the idea of sitting before our Sanhedrin and those things, items that are adjudicated before our Sanhedrin. So Mizbeach is juxtaposed with Sanhedrin. So Rashi there writes at the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, why are the two next to each other? One at the end of Parshas Yisroi, the other at the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. Why is the Mizbeach next to the Sanhedrin? To teach us that the Sanhedrin should be housed in the Beis HaMikdash compound. The two should be next to each other. So Mar Vashemesh there writes, Mizbeach, represents tefillah. That's what the whole Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash is kind of the paradigm for. Avodah sa tefillah, Ezu Avodah shebeleiv zu tefillah. Represents davening. Sanhedrin was the source, the Rambam describes, and that was the, Misham Teitzei Hara. From there, Torah, learning emanated. Torah emanated from the Sanhedrin. So Torah has to be next to tefillah because the two are related. There's a fantastic gematria from the Zidachover. He says the Mishnah in Masechtas Avos, Derech Eretz Kavna L'Torah. Derech Eretz has to precede Torah. It's usually interpreted to mean a person has to be a Baal Midas. You first have to be a Mensch. However, he writes, Derech Eretz Gematria 515. Gematria tefillah. You have to have tefillah as a necessary ingredient to Torah. Kind of the precursor. And you cannot have one without the other. It's not only is tefillah necessary for Torah, Torah is necessary for tefillah. The Gemara says in Masechtas, you can't have one without the other. The Gemara says in Masechtas, Yevamos, Kol ha'omer ein li ela Torah, afilu Torah ein lo. A person who says, I only have Torah, not tefillah, even the Torah he doesn't have. By the same token, the Gemara says, Masechtas Shabbos, Hamasir ozna mishmaya Torah, gam tefillah sotayva. A person not interested in learning, his tefillah is not accepted either. So they're married to each other, Torah and tefillah. Even though we usually think about them in separate terms, in fact, the Gemara says, Zman tefillah l'chud, Zman Torah l'chud, the two are related. What is the relationship between them? What is the relationship between them? You cannot have one without the other. One is indispensable to the other. What's the relationship? It's a famous medrash in Tehillim, the comments in the Pasuk, Yihiyu l'ratzayin imrefi. David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yihiyu l'ratzayin imrefi, that my words, saying with my mouth, should be pleasing before you. So the Medrash comments, or tells us, that David HaMelech requests before HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the saying of Tehillim should be on par, should be the equivalent of a person who learns Negoyim and Aholis, the most intricate, esoteric Masechtas of Shas. Tehillim should be just as valuable. And that's where the Medrash ends. We don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded. There is no response. So the Achronim debate. What's the answer to David HaMelech's request? Writes the Nefesh HaChaim in Shadaud, Hashem said no. That's why there's no response. Hashem rejected the request of David HaMelech. They're not the same. They're not the same. Reciting Tehillim all day, being Isaac and Vekus, is not the same as learning Masechtas Negoim in a Aholos. Negoim in a Aholos is, you know, is on a higher level than a person who learns Tehillim all day, even though he's being Isaac and Vekus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected the request of David HaMelech. The Pelayoitz is a Musa Sefer from Eliezer Papo, the Bulgarian Baal Musar. So he writes, it's an encyclopedia of Musa topics. So in the Erech Tehillim, that entry, he writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course we accepted the request of David HaMelech. Tehillim is the same, just as valuable as Negoim and Aholos. Okay, we can debate. But why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer David HaMelech? Why is there no answer? And what is the request of David HaMelech in the first place? What does he mean? Tehillim, what was he promoting his own book over here? Tehillim should be just as accepted as Negoim and Aholos. And why Negoim and Aholos? Why specifically those two, you know, Masechtas? Yes, it's true. They are intricate. They are esoteric. But are they really a higher learning than Shabbos and, you know, Erevin and Brachis or Zvachim and Menachis? Why Davka Negoim and Aholos? Why Davka Negoim and Aholos? And why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer him? What's going on over here? So I think, could be, what David HaMelech was asking from the Ribbono Shel Olam was that Tehillim, which is the basis for Tefillah, is David HaMelech's private Tefillahs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which were then incorporated by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah to become the basis, the backbone of all of our Tefillahs, that Tefillah should be the equivalent of learning Torah, which is represented by Negoim and Aholos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not respond, because the answer to that request is really in our hands. Tehillim is a funny thing. Tehillim is, of course, David HaMelech's tefillahs, incorporated to be, you know, part and parcel of our tefillahs, the background of all tefillahs, Pesukah Dezimra, the introduction to tefillahs every day. So Tehillim is tefillah. At the same time, it's part of Tanakh. So it's Torah also. So what is its identity? Is it tefillah or is it Torah? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't respond to David HaMelech because the answer, to a large extent, depends on us. For example, the Be'er Heitev quotes from the Ari HaKadosh in the Shara Mitzvahs, you're not supposed to learn Mikra at night. You're not supposed to learn Tanakh at night. Why? Because Tanakh, Mikra, Torah Shebichtav is Midas Hadin. It's compromising. And no human element at all. And night, at least the first part of the night before Chatzais, is Midas Hadin. So Midas Hadin arouses din against the Jewish people. You're not supposed to learn Mikra at night. This is based on the Medrash. At night you have to learn Tafka Torah Shabbat Peh. It's based on the Medrash. I think Medrash Tachuma, Yaakov Shemaini, that how did Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was on Har Sinai, know when it was day or night? How did he keep track of that? So the Medrash says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu learned with him Mikra Torah Shabbat Sav, he knew that it was day. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu learned with him Torah Shabbat Peh, Gemara, he knew that it was night. That's what the pasuk means. Yom leyom yabia omer, pasuk in Tehillim. Yom leyom yabia omer. During the day, Kadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to him, Torah Shebesav, v'layla layla chavedos. And at night, we were engaged in wisdom and knowledge. That refers to Torah Shebesav. What about Tehillim? Torah Shebesav, dafka during the day, not at night. If you learn it with the Mefarshim, then it's like learning Torah Shebesav, maybe it's Bi'iyun. Okay, fine. So then, yes, you can learn at night. There's a Bechin of Torah Shebesav. But if you're not learning the Torah Tamima on the Psukim, you're learning the Pshuta Shal Mikra, so then the dafka is supposed to be done during the day. Mikra. What about Tehillim? So the Chidah, in his Tshuvas L'Chaim Shaul, quotes in the name of his Rebbe, the Rashash, one of the Mekubalim, that Tehillim was never included in this. Tehillim is Mutter at night. Rav HaPaiskim, though, believe that there's a difference. If a person is learning Tehillim, B'Bchinas, Mikra, Torah Shebichtav, you shouldn't do it at night. Have your Tehillim Shir during the day. If you're saying Tehillim, B'Bchinas, Tefillah, we have a Chayla, difficulty Jewish people encountering, so then you can do it at night. So it depends how we approach it. The answer is up to us. David HaMelech requests from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, treat Tehillim like Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't respond because the answer is in our hands. It's up to us. Tehillim straddles both. It's both Tefillah as well as Talmud Torah. It's up to us to determine its identity. Are we going to treat it as Torah? Are we going to treat it as Tefillah? Another example. An Ovel, during Shiva, is not permitted to learn Torah. Tisha B'Av, you're not permitted to learn Torah. Why not? Bikudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chaylev. The mitzvahs of a Kadosh Baruch Hu bring us a certain sense of joy. Learning Torah is a joyful experience. And therefore, we don't learn Torah during Shiva, and we don't learn Torah during Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av. What about Tehillim? What about Tehillim? You are not allowed to learn Tarshish B'Ksav either on Tisha B'Av. People make that mistake. It's not just Gemara. You're not allowed to learn Tanakh either. So what about Tehillim? So again, many places say, it's a difference. If you're learning it B'Bchinas Torah, so then B'Kudei Hashem Yisham B'Sam Chayv. If a person is reading Tehillim B'Bchinas Dveikos is a kind of a tefillah, then it's permitted on Tisha B'Av. It's permitted during Shiva. It depends. It's up to us to determine the identity of Tehillim, because Tehillim, you know, kind of straddles both. Why was David HaMelech asking that his, you know, that the tefillah of Tehillim should be considered as Torah? And why specifically Negoim and Aholis? So I think the answer is the following. In the first piece in the Likutei Maharan, Rabbi Nachman, so there's he has one eitzah there, one piece of advice to a person, he's not mentioned, but that's the background of the piece, is that was a chassid who was having difficulty in his davening. He felt like his davening wasn't being effective, like he wasn't being answered. I don't know how he knew that. How did he know that? You know, I guess, you know, sometimes in davening you feel like you're hitting a brick wall. Yeah. So he felt like it wasn't going well. And he came to Rabbi Nachman for advice. So the first piece in the Likutei Maharan, Torah Aleph, Rabbi Nachman tells him, you should learn before you daven. Learn before you daven. If you learn before davening, your tefillos will be more makubal. Help your tefillos be accepted. Why learn before davening? What does that accomplish? It's not just as an exercise to focus your mind. No, sometimes it's geschmack. There's nothing more geschmack than learning before davening black amar, but that's not what he meant, I don't think. What he meant was, I think, is that there's a difference between Torah and tefillah. The Rav describes this in one of his writings. They're similar in the sense that they're both a conversation between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The difference is in who's the one who's talking. In Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking and we're listening. We're listening to the Dvar Hashem. Interacting with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, but it's a Kaddish Baruch Hu who is speaking to us. A tefillah is a person takes the things that are going on in his own life and he presents it to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. We're speaking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Same conversation, just the difference is who's the one who has the microphone. Torah, Kaddish Baruch Hu is speaking to us. Tefillah, we're speaking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the perspective that most of us has, usually, is that in tefillah, I'm coming to a Kaddish Baruch Hu with the things that are going wrong in my life, the things that I need, with the dilemmas that I'm struggling with, that I'm confronting, I present it to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Where Rabbi Nachman told, discussed it, is no learn before davening. Why? To understand that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us during Torah, the situations that I'm encountering in my life, the situations that, you know, the dilemmas, the problems, the turmoil, the challenges, that's not random. That's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me in this situation because He expects something from me. He wants something from me. So the situations that I'm encountering, the difficulties that I have, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to me too. Kadosh Baruch Hu speak to me also in those circumstances. That's why Rabbi Nachman talks a lot about speaking to the Ribbono Shel Olam in every situation the person finds himself in, not only in the, you know, the scheduled times for tefillah, because a person can reach out to Kadosh Baruch Hu with every challenge that he's encountering, because every time Kadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us, communicating with us, something that he wants from us. So the situations, the challenges we face, those dilemmas, that turmoil, is coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's like Kadosh Baruch Hu speaking to us. So Kadosh Baruch Hu speak to us not only through Torah, but in the circumstances of our life and those challenges, Kadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us too because He wants something from us. With this in mind, we can interpret this as a famous comment in Morva Shemesh. Parashas Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu arrives at the Makom HaMikdash, Vayivka B'Makom, Vayolon Shem Kivu HaShemesh, and he dreams of a Sula Mutz of Arts, Vereshim Magia Shomayim, Malachim Elokim Orim V'Yardim, a ladder that reaches from the ground all the way to the heavens, and Malachim going up and down. And he wakes up from that dream and he says, Achein Yesh Hashem. The Pasuk says, Vayikos Yaakov Mishina. So he wakes up from his sleep. Vayomer, Achein Yesh Hashem, Makom Hazeh, Vanochi Lo Yedati. Behold, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in this place and I wasn't aware. So Medrash comments, Vayikos Yaakov Mishina. So he woke up from his sleep, but Vayikos Yaakov Mishina. So he woke up from his learning. Because until now, he'd been learning in Yeshiva Shein V'Yever for a prolonged period of time. So Vayikos Yaakov Mi Mishnasoi, he woke up from his learning. What do you mean he woke up from his learning? What does that mean? He was sleeping. Samar Vashemesh says, Yaakov Avinu thought the only way a Kadosh Baruch Hu could speak to us was through Torah. Tefillah, he thought it's me speaking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yaakov said, I don't need to listen to myself talk. Tefillah doesn't, you know, it's not connecting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the same way as Torah. I want to hear what a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to say. That's what he thought was the only way of hearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then when he fell asleep at the Makom HaMikdash, after he reached a dilemma in his life, Vayivka B'Makom, he hit a brick wall, he davened Marib, in the darkness of life, when things seem grim, and there's no light that can be seen, But then he saw a ladder extending from this world, you know, up to Shammai, Malachim going up and down. He realized, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me in this place. He's communicating with me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is communicating with me. He's sending Malachim down, and I'm supposed to send Malachim up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is communicating with me. The things that are happening in my life are happening on purpose, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us a message. He wants something from us. And then he realized, he woke up from his, you know, from his sleep, that he thought the only way I could hear Hashem talking to me is through learning. He realized through davening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also talking to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also asking things from me. He's communicating with me. I'm encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the same way that I do in Torah, I'm encountering in Tefillah too. Because from the problems of my life, I see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me. And that's what David HaMelech was asking, is that Tefillah, Tehillim, should also be a kind of Torah. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to Klal Yisrael also through their Tefillahs. That's why Tehillim sits as the bridge between Tefillah and Torah, because in a certain sense, two fields are very related, much more than we realize. Why Dafka Negam and Aholos? Why do you ask that it specifically be like Negam and Aholos? So the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, has Mamarim Kitzarim. He wrote the Tanya, as we know, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, Lukutei Torah and Chumash, but there's Mamarim Kitzarim. It's printed in a separate volume. It's available. So he comments in this Medrash, he says, because Negam and Aholos, who is that relevant to? Who needs to know Hilchos Negam? Who's going to paskin on a Nega? Only a Kohen. Very few people. Yet it's in the Torah. Everybody has a mitzvah to learn it. It's relevant to everybody, universal. Aholis, who needs to know about Tumas Meis? Usually just Kohanim. It's true, people eating Kajim and Taurus have to be careful about Tumas Meis, but it's really limited to Kohanim. They can't come in contact with the Tumas Meis. Yet it's included in Torah. Everybody has to know it. Says the Alter Rebbe, listen to this. The Alter Rebbe says, David HaMelech said, these are my private tefillahs. Kadosh Baruch Hu, these are the things you wanted from me in my life. So I understand you're talking to me through Tehillim. But what David HaMelech asked from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, let this be a conduit of you speaking to Klal Yisrael, just like you do in Torah, but to speak not only to me, to whom was my private tefillah, let it be universal, let it be something that, you know, all of Klal Yisrael can use, to turn to when they're in difficulties, to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and understand how you're speaking to them through the lens, through the, you know, through that conduit of Tehillim as well. Meaning Tehillim shouldn't just be my conversation with you, Rebbein Shalom. Allow that to be shaykh to all of Klal Yisrael. And the answer is open-ended, because it's up to us. If we understand the opportunity of what Tehillim is, that it's our ability to have that kind of conversation with Kadosh Baruch Hu, not only to speak to the Rebbein Shalom, but to understand that in our speaking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu is really speaking to us. Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling the things, you know, that he wants from us. So then Tehillim is that tremendous opportunity. Even though it's through the lens of David HaMelech, it became the universal vehicle through which we all speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during times of difficulty, we're all experiencing challenges. And that was the request David HaMelech had from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what Rabbi Nachman told this Talmud, who was having difficulty with his tefillos. If you learn before davening, your davening will be that much more effective. Why? Because you understand through your davening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to you. But Rabbi Yisai, listen carefully. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us, and he's telling us the things that we want through the challenges that we're facing, then it turns out that the things that I need, that road goes in two directions. I don't need for me. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me here, and he made me have the needs and desires and, you know, the problems that I'm having, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to me, he's telling me the things that I want, you know, from you, then the things that we don't need for ourselves. Who do we need it for? We need it for the Ribbono Shel Olam. We need it for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So if tefillah is turned into a kind of Torah, we understand that through our davening, it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to us, then the Torah is also kind of turned into a tefillah. Rabbi Nachman writes elsewhere in the Likutei Maran that we have to try and turn Torah into tefillah. Torah into tefillah. So some people think what he means is that when I learn about the mitzvah of lulav, I should dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I should fulfill lulav. No, it's something much deeper. What it means is to recognize that the things, just like a Torah, the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, the things we have to do, tefillah, the challenges that I'm facing and the things that I need, I don't need for me. I don't need them for me. I need them in order to fulfill the mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from me. If the challenges I'm facing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me in this predicament on purpose, then the things that I need are not for me. I need them in order to be, you know, fulfill the plan of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when a person davens with that mindset, your tefillos have a much better chance of being accepted. There's a famous ha'ara from the Goyin. It's in the Siddur HaGra. It's made more famous by the Nefesh HaChaim in Shaar Beis. The Nefesh HaChaim writes, a skula, an eitzah, to having your tefillos be accepted, says the Nefesh HaChaim, is don't daven for yourself. Daven that the things that you need should be used for the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Goyin notes in Rosh Hashanah, which is the day, right, when lives are literally on the line, that we would think you would ask for the things that we need. Bani, Chaim, Mizaini, you know, family, Parnasa, health. We don't daven for any of those things. We daven for the malchus of the Ribbono Shel Olam should be nizgale. Kadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom and reign over the world should become, you know, well known. For Kiddush Shem Shemayim, that's what we daven for. So the Goyin asks, why not? Why don't we daven for the things that we need? So he explains that it's because we don't daven for the things that we need for ourselves. That's not the way our tefillos will be accepted. We daven for it to the sake that we can be mamach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we say, of course we daven for these things in Rosh Hashanah. We don't daven for our own sake. We daven, you know, l'mam chavli kim chayim. We daven for our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we should be able to fulfill the mission of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which He has put us here in this world in order to fulfill. And when that's our mindset, our tefillos have a much better chance of being accepted, because we're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help us fulfill the plan that You want from us. And I think today we're all being put in a situation, predicament that's affecting the entirety of the Jewish people, not only those soldiers who are on the front line defending our people and Eretz Yisrael, Medinas Yisrael, but defending Jews in the whole world. It's something that affects us, not only the anti-Semitism, but because we are one nation. And therefore, if it is something that affects us, we're all turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the vehicle of Tehillim, which is the appropriate response. We have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something from all of us. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't only want those who are on the front lines, but all of us who are part of that larger organism of Klal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're part of that big plan, the larger narrative of the Jewish people. And Kadosh Baruch Hu wants something from us too. He put us in this situation because there's something that we are supposed to do. There's something, some call to action that's not only for them, but that's for us. We have to change. We have to improve. We have to do the things that we can in order to be successful at this time. And we should have in mind, as that's happening, that we're not doing it for ourselves. It's not only to allay the fears and the challenges emotionally, religiously that we're facing, but we should have in mind that we're doing so in order to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, in order to fulfill the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yirtzeh Hashem, we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Tehillim that we're saying, and we shouldn't be exhausted and fatigued from saying them. We have to continue to do it with the bread. We should do the things that we can. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling on all of us to do the Askonos, Shtadlonos, the political pressure that we can bring to bear, all those things. This is a call to action for all of us. And Yirtzeh Hashem, we should be, our tefillah should be Mekubal. Those who are on the front line should be victorious over this enemy. We should be successful in the war and return all of them, B'Shalom, to their families. So I have a